Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on, have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an All-Star start over him.
You are now Angelo Didalulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo, here with me, as always, with Alex. And I dropped a surprise on Alex, and he doesn't know what it is yet.
Hey, how's it going, guys? How's it going, Angelo? Yeah. So in a very Angelo-like move, we decided to completely hijack the idea that we had for the show prior to the show even starting. So this is completely new ground. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. So I guess this is going to be a winging it show. And I hope I'm ready for the test, huh? For me, yeah. I mean, you have it all. You have it all set up.
I have it all. I have it all. So, Alex, I am going to try something completely new and different, something we haven't done yet. And this show is actually going to be also on YouTube. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the draft results of two of our leagues, one Superflex, one non-Superflex, and we're going to review the draft and we're going to make our grades and predictions on, you know, how each team did, how each pick went, what we would have done differently maybe. So you're going to be grading yourself for the most part, because the one I have up, Dynasty Nas, I only had two or three selections, if I'm not mistaken.
The other one you had more picks, but in our one, I think it was only a third round pick or so, if I'm not mistaken.
So, which one would you like to start with, the 12-team Superflex or the 16-team one quarterback league? Both of them are PPR, by the way.
Okay, let's start with the 16 team.
Okay. See, I gave you some control, Alex. I gave you some control.
At least I have that, huh? Okay, so let me open up the draft here. Because this could have been done already if Angelo had shared some of the things that he was about to do here. But no, Angelo does not like to share, apparently.
Angelo does not share.
Okay. So I have it here. I have it open. And, oh my God, it's missing a pick. Okay. So, do you want to do this team by team, or
Honestly, my idea is doing it in quadrants. So, like, we'll name off the four picks at the time, and we'll just assess how those picks work.
Okay, and do you want to do the full four rounds here?
I'm cool with it if you are. If you want to stop at three, we can stop at three. I don't care.
I mean, we should stop at three.
Well, I mean, there's one or two fourth round picks we could talk about. Let's make the fourth round just quick. How about that? We don't have to go through every pick in the fourth round, just who we want to talk about.
Okay. Just name like two or three of the best picks that we like here in the fourth round, that is.
There you go.
Okay. So, looking at this draft, the first four picks, we got Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yep.
Drafted by good friend of the show, Austin, that sometimes pops up in the NBA show. It's quite a rare occasion, but it happens.
It does happen from time to time. You are correct.
Okay. After that, we got Malik Nevers. That went to me. I was the proud owner of the 102. Thank you, Justin. Mm-hmm. That was a good present. Well, Justin did the hard work there, getting me the second pick.
He did.
So, pick three, it was another good friend of the show, Cameron, who selected Caleb Williams. And to complete it, we got Curtis, they call me Buck Nasty, E-Draft, Roma Dunze. I mean, so a pretty standard, three of these four picks were pretty standard. Harrison, Nevers, Dunze. I mean, Nevers, again, it's your favorite player. If I know anything about our league, is that eventually he will probably end in your team, because that's just how things go at times. I draft the players, I eventually trade them to you for better win now players. And this is just a cycle that happens and repeats over and over again. Marvin Harrison Jr. was the best pick, of course. Again, my wide receiver one. Nevers was my wide receiver two. Odunze, I mean, I like Odunze in general. But again, I would have liked a bit of a more of a bold pick. And maybe I would have just gone for the crazy upside with Xavier Worthy. But it's still a good pick. I mean, the one that is kind of wild is the Caleb Williams one at 103. It is a 16-team draft. Yeah, but it's 16 teams, though. So there's no QBs available on waivers or anything. Most people are holding 2 to 3 QBs. So it sort of inflates the values of QBs, although, like, when you're trading QBs, people don't really... It's kind of two weights and two measures. So people will draft QBs and will value QBs high because they are sort of rare in this league to get one available on waivers or whatnot. And they will draft QBs high. But then when you're going to trade a QB to a team that needs one, they're like, don't want to pay that because this is one QB. But, like, the value that you're paying for a QB in a draft is usually quite high. So it's kind of a weird, like, again, two measures. What do you think of it?
So I have had a heart-to-heart, and I have changed my mind on quite a few things, quite honestly. So, as you know, redraft season is coming along, right?
Yeah.
And one thing that I am learning as I've been watching certain content creators and doing my own research is that, you know, regardless of position, pretty much the type of offense you are in matters. So if you are in a top five offense, that bodes a lot better for you than if you're in a bottom five. And if you're in a bottom five, it is incredibly difficult to get like high end productions. With that said, and with that research and historical context knowledge that I have acquired, I no longer think Malik Nevers is the best wide receiver to select, and I do believe it's Marvin Harrison Jr., if for no other reason that the Arizona Cardinals offense projects to be a lot better offense than the Giants, and not only that, the Giants are projected to be a bottom five offense. So There is a path where, so I know one of the things that are talked about a lot is the 525 yards in your rookie year that can project out to future success. I have no doubt Malik Nabers will hit that. However, I do not know if the extreme upside for Nabers is necessarily there now, because how long exactly will it take the Giants offense to be an offense that can generate a top wide receiver production in the league?
Okay, so first of all, thanks for finally coming to the light. We here at the Marv Nerison Jr. Fan Club, we accept you, and we get rid of your sins here. So all of the bad mouthing that you did regarding our Lord and Savior Marv Nerison Jr.
Oh no, that's all true. It's just the
No. You said that you no longer believe Malik Nabers is the best wide receiver in this draft. So, we accept you here in our club.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
And we appreciate you, Angelo. In regards to Nabers, though, again, I still think like that old narrative of the Giants are bad, so Nabers has a capped ceiling are somewhat not super accurate. Like, don't get me wrong.
I don't think the Giants are going to be a bottom five offense.
Don't get me wrong. I don't think he will be like Tyreek Hill or anything like that. I don't think he will break 1,200 yards, for example. But would I be shocked if the only good wide receiver and the only great weapon that the Giants probably have will break 1,000 yards and will be the focus point on this team?
I would
team.
Be shocked. I would be shocked if
Nabers.
I would be shocked if Nabers broke 1,000, yes. I wouldn't be shocked if he was the best weapon and the thing that's getting targeted the most. That wouldn't shock me one bit. I would be shocked if he breaks 1,000 this year, though.
How many yards do you think Danny Dimes?
750.
Who arguably, according to you, is a better QB than Geno Smith? Let's not forget about that. How many yards do you think he will throw for?
I was hoping you would forget about that.
No. That was a layup. Thank you. How many yards do you think that dude is going to have passing?
So let's go to Daniel Jones and let's see how many yards he's had in him. He has eclipsed 3,000 yards twice. Once was his rookie season and barely. So you're looking at his mean, and his mean is probably around 2,700, 2,800. That's probably what you're going to get. So you're telling me that Malik Nabers is going to be over half of the Giants' passing yards?
Okay, so you think he will have right around 2,800 passing yards, right?
Yeah, give or take, yeah.
Give or take. Okay, so let me pull up this page here very quick. Because I'm looking at, for example, for a guy like, let's say, Justin Fields, beloved player by a lot in the fantasy community, probably should be starting right now, because just the other day, like, I got 3 tweets in regards to Justin Fields. That he looked great on shorts and was throwing passes without pads. And I'm like,
please tell me you responded to that on Twitter.
No, I did not, because I'm very much not a guy that, at least from my personal account, answers to those stuff. But I did make a comment on somewhere, and I think it might have been on Reddit or something along those lines. It was on Discord, in a Discord server, that I had seen like 3 tweets of Justin Fields. And that at that stage, I was fairly certain that the Pitchfork mob, that is called the Justin Fields fan club, was about to get out of the woodshed for his guy and the man that he starts now instead of Russell Wilson, because he had he had one good day of practice without pads on. So I did make that comment, but it was not on Reddit. It was not on Twitter. But now, this guy here that people still think that he should be starting somewhere, he passed for 2,500 yards. Would you be surprised if I told you that this same guy managed to get one wide receiver, and his name is DJ Moore, to get over 1,300 yards? So halfway of his production goes to DJ Moore. Why is
that? Because that's an outlier. That doesn't happen that often.
But what happened there? So the Bears were pretty iffy team. The defense was good in the last part of the season. But for the most part, the defense was okay. The offense was very bad. They had one really good weapon receiving. And then they had Cole Kmet as a secondary option. And other guys that were just laying around, like that one guy that now, Darnell Mooney. Like, that seems like a very similar scenario to what you have currently with the Giants. And sure, it can be an outlier, but when you have a coach that has showed you that he can funnel targets to one single player and make one single player the focus on the offense, especially when the QB is still young and he's still learning and he still has some deficiencies in his game, like he did with Diggs and Allen back in Buffalo. Like, why is that surprising? That I'm not saying that the Giants are going to be great. I'm not saying that the Giants are even going to be good. I am just saying that maybe, like, a team that needed the wide receiver so much drafted one guy so high. And if you have seen, like, the HBO, the one thing that they're doing right now, which is basically, like, Hard Knocks on the offseason, like, they have been following the Giants and throughout all of the draft process and whatnot. And, like, they love Malik Nabbers. Like, there were people in that building that believed, much like you did, that Nabbers is a better player than Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, if they believe in this guy so much, why isn't he going to be, like, the main part of the offense? And why can't he get, like, the bulk of the yardage that Danny Dimes will throw?
Here's the thing.
Like, I think 1,000 yards is going to be fun.
I think 1,000 yards is a stretch. So here's the thing. Malik Nabbers is going to be a top what wide receiver in his rookie year? Then.
Malik Nabbers is going to be a top 24 wide receiver.
So. I don't think so.
I believe the only guys in this draft class that are going to rank above Nabbers in the first year are going to be Marvin Harrison Jr.
Dear God, and Alex.
Led McConkey.
So you're saying there's going to be... You're killing me, man. You're saying there's going to be three wide receivers drafted that are in the top 24.
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Oh my God, I mean, Alex.
I'm sorry if I'm the bearer of bad news, but I think that Malik Nabbers is going to be fine, people. Like,
oh no, Malik Nabbers will be fine, especially long term. But
in the short term, I also think he's going to be fine. And again, much like I said when we were talking about our projections for the teams prior to doing all of the records and whatnot. This can all change when I open up the projections that I'm going to run probably this week or next. And when I start running the Sims, it's entirely possible that I have Malik Nabbers going for less than that and finish as a lower wide receiver than that. But right now, like, I see a clear path for the guy to be a top 24 option right now for the wide receivers, because he has no competition. Like, the competition around him, they are not really competing for the number one spot. That's his. And
that's
like,
great. You can be the number one. But here's the thing. The offense is still shit at the end of the day. Unless you tell me that the Giants are going to surprise everyone with how good their offense is. I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't see the path. And that doesn't mean Nabbers isn't going to be amazing long term. Especially if the Giants can figure out the offense as a whole around him. But I think you need to. I can't believe I'm fucking saying this. I think you need to pump the brakes on exactly what Malik Nabbers' ceiling year one is exactly.
Okay, so let's put it like this. I'm not even saying... why is it crazy for me to say that he's like having 1,000 yards is going to be like impossible? Let me just look at this, because maybe I am that crazy. But let me see how many players had over 1,000 receiving yards this past season in 2023.
I'm looking at it right now. How many of them were on a bottom five offense, too?
Okay. So we have up until wide receiver. Okay. So I have Adam Thielen, for example.
He had 1,000 yards?
He had 1,000 yards season. Bryce Young have under 2,500 yards passing.
The Panthers were bottom five offense. I can't confirm yet.
Yes. So Adam Thielen, DeAndre Hopkins. I know you love Will Levis, but the Titans were a very shitty offense. Like, I can open up the ranks here, and maybe they're not going to be top five, but they're going to be like top six or so, bottom five, bottom six, bottom seven. So those two guys had over 1,000 yards receiving. Both were on very bad offenses, probably bottom seven, bottom five offenses in the league.
All right, so I have the bottom five for last year. The bottom five were the Panthers, the Jets, the Patriots, the Giants, and the Titans did sneak in.
Okay, so for the Jets, Garrett Wilson, 1,000 yards receiving. And he was wide receiver.
But
I believe he was wide receiver 26. Yeah. I think it's right around the range. Like, and I'm looking at guys like Garrett Wilson, current Thielen, current Hopkins. Those guys are comparable to Malik Nabbers, at least. George Pickens as well. Where did the Steelers rank? Did you mention him inside of the bottom five?
Eight.
Okay, so they were a bottom eight offense. And Pickens still managed to get 1,000
yards. The Bengals are not that far from this list. Holy shit. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chase was there.
Was not fun.
Yeah, like I'm sure the Chargers probably weren't that higher up, nor were the Las Vegas Raiders.
The Chargers are actually in the middle of the pack. The Raiders were actually number, but the Raiders were the sixth worst. They're right after the Titans.
Okay, but, and Adams had over 1,000 yards of receiving as well.
I mean,
it's just that there's no one else. Like, the tight ends, Waller retires, so now you're looking at either Bellinger, that actual promise, but has not taken that step, that next step up yet, or Theo Johnson, the rookie as well. Out of the receivers, though, let me check who they still have this season. Okay, so they are looking at guys like, Jesus Christ, dude. Wendell Robinson.
The Bears were not a bottom five offense last year with Justin Fields. Interesting. Or bottom 10. They weren't even a bottom 10. Interesting.
That's probably scoring offense.
Yeah, that's all offense. No, offensive yards per game. It's all
offensive yards. Yeah, because they got a lot of rushing yards as well.
Okay, passing. Never mind. Here we go. This is more accurate. There it is. The Bears still weren't a bottom five.
Oh, I have a tough time seeing that, but if they say so.
Panthers, yeah, Giants, Jets, Titans, Patriots were your bottom five.
So, and then again, Garrett Wilson, Hopkins, which was the other name that I mentioned?
Thielen
as well, yeah. So it's possible to achieve 1,000 yards by that, by doing like by being in a shitty team.
Rookie
and then
year, though, that's the thing. I don't know if he's going to accomplish his rookie year. That's.
I mean, look at the other options around him. You have Wendell Robinson. You have DeAndre, not DeAndre, Darius Slayton. You have Jalen Hyatt. You have Isaiah Hodgins. You have Richie James. Like, none of those guys are projected to get over 600 yards. Who?
Allen Robinson.
Isn't he, like, retired? Jesus Christ, dude, just retire. Like, Sleeper isn't even showing him. So that's fun. It still says that he's with the Rams, but yeah, like when you open the page, it says the Giants. But yeah, I just think it's not gonna be. And Sleeper hasn't projected to. So he's the only guy that they have projected over 600 receiving yards right now, and they have never projected at 1,000 yards on the dot.
I think it's gonna be six touchdowns.
Like six touchdowns. And even when, like, you look at, they are not even, like, being crazy aggressive with their projections. Like, they have the wide receivers totaling, this is what? So this is around 2K. They have around 2,500 yards receiving across the wide receivers. And they have the touchdowns at right around 17. So they have 17 touchdowns and 2,500 yards across all receivers, wide receivers, that is. You add in the tight ends, like, I can't imagine them having a, like, yeah, they have the tight ends projected to, across T.O. Johnson, yeah, and Ballinger, they have right around 600 yards. So they are projecting Danny Dimes to have around 3K passing yards. That doesn't seem crazy. But, like, going back, what do you think of Caleb Williams being drafted so high?
So, it isn't 12, it is 16. Honestly, I could see it. I could see it as a good move.
But don't you feel like the league in general, when you are trading, does not value QBs all that much?
I mean, Jalen Hurts got someone two first-round picks, so... I mean...
Maybe it's just the QBs that I've traded that are not worth all that much. But yeah, you are correct. I believe that's right around what they got. I was checking here.
Granted, I made both these moves, but yes, both C.J. Stroud and Jalen Hurts did net their owners a very pretty penny.
Yeah. You got him and Edwards-Helaire for a first in 24 and a first in 25. And this was in 2023, so this was after he was QB2 on the season.
Yep.
That's still kind of, I don't know. Then you're spending, like, a top three first on Caleb Williams. The value still doesn't seem, like, quite right. But maybe it's just me. Like, the other QBs also went fairly high. And finally, like, Odunze went 104.
So,
like, the JSN, right, of this year.
Here's my hot take. Here's my take on the Chicago. Because I do think Chicago's offense will be fine. I don't think Caleb's going to be a bust or anything crazy, right? But I do also believe that I don't think all three weapons can flourish. I think if Rome Odunze flourishes, that means likely Keenan Allen regressed and he isn't flourishing. I don't think both those players, and granted, that's a weird thing to say, you know, the 30-year-old wide receiver and the 21-year-old they just drafted, but I think someone is going to get hit hard. And I'm not sure which one it is, if it's Rome Odunze or if it's Keenan Allen. Which one do you think it is? Or do you share that same opinion?
I think that in order to Odunze to succeed this year, something needs to happen with Keenan Allen. And I do not think that Keenan Allen right now is dropping off, because I did not really see any sign of that this past season with the Chargers.
Sure.
So I think that when you're drafting Odunze, you kind of have to have the JSN mentality from last year. But when you look at the people who drafted JSN, like, a lot of them sort of did not have...
Those people are not eating right now.
They're not eating, and it's like, you are so tempted to trade the dude for the new hotness that his value is going to go down based on what he did this past season. So if you're drafting Odunze, either you really love him or you like him enough to the point in which he's basically going to be untradeable for your team for a while. And not a lot of owners have that capability and that mentality of, I'm going to value proof this guy. Like, no matter what happens, this guy's not changing my team unless I get paid X, and you're not budging from that. And I don't see a lot of managers being capable of doing that. So I kind of feel like drafting Odunze so high is not a mistake, but it's not playing your cards the right way. I said it from the start, I think trading down from this spot is probably the best option. You make another, unless you completely love Odunze, you just make another manager take that bullet. And if you like him, you go ahead and try and trade him afterwards, after the season goes as planned, assuming it goes as planned. Best case scenario, you get a good trade for that number 3, number 4 overall pick. You get a good offer for that. You get a good return. Odunze pans out, and it is what it is. You cannot get him back. But at least you got something great. I guess worst case option is you do not get a great trade offer, and you're banking that Odunze sort of dies down, and then he completely pops off because, I don't know, an injury to Keenan Allen, an injury to DJ Moore, and Odunze finds himself as the wide receiver 1, and then you're kind of getting screwed there. But I think, like, you're going to be fine if you trade off of that Odunze pick or Odunze himself. And you go for one of the higher upside guys. You go for one of the Xavier Worthy. You go for Ladd McConkey, for example. You go for one of those guys. You get some more capital back or some other player back. And you enjoy it. Because, like, I think the upside on both guys, year 1, is going to be crazy.
Yeah, I could see that. I think we've spent enough time on the first 4 picks. Holy shit.
Woo! We spent almost half an hour discussing 4 picks. So what Angelo meant was... We're just going to go through one round. We're going to go through 3 drafts across, I don't know, 10 episodes.
No, stick around. We'll do the other draft next week is what I'm saying. We'll go through this one this week. I did not expect this to take this long. I'm not going to lie. Go on.
Okay, next 4 picks were Xavier Worthy, Brock Bowers, Brian Thomas Jr., and what's the first name
Jonathan
of the dude?
Brooks.
Jonathan Brooks. Yeah, I was thinking Jalen. Jonathan Brooks, yeah. So again, Worthy, we've talked about it a bit. I think his upside is crazy this season. There's, like, his floor is not great. Let's put it at that. But his upside, I think, is excellent. Right now, like, you have the whole Rashee Rice situation still dangling. You still have like a good wide receiver taking the first coverage off, but he can build something special with Mahomes here.
So here's my take on this quadrant of picks. You said, like, Rome Odunze was the pick you wanted to be traded. This quadrant right here, this is fucking hell. I'm looking at this and I don't know a single person I want to select. Maybe Brock Bowers, because here's the thing. Xavier Worthy, absolutely. If you want to say yes, Tyreek kind of upside, sure. You know what? Go ahead. That said, he's still really undersized, and if the talking point that gets you there is the Chiefs offense are elite, I don't know if that's good enough to justify the pick with Worthy, especially because there is Rashee Rice there. They did add Hollywood Brown. Mecole Hardman is back, and he also is a burner. So you better have a lot of faith in Xavier Worthy. It better not be, I have faith in the Chiefs offense. No, we saw it with Sky Moore. Just because the Chiefs offense is good does not mean Xavier Worthy is going to be able to carve out a niche or a huge chunk of the offensive production that Patrick Mahomes is going to give you. I'm going to go to Jonathan Brooks, because I think Jonathan Brooks is, hold on, let me just be sure. Yeah, no, it is. Jonathan Brooks is the worst pick in the first round for me, quite honestly. So let me get this straight. You're going to select a running back. Let me get this straight. You're going to select a running back who is coming off major knee injury, who isn't going to be on the field until what, week 9, week 10? And you're going to draft him with basically one of his like 4 years being wasted. And you're going to tell me you expect that the value you got into selecting him is somehow going to go up from 1.8. What's going to likely happen is you're going to select Jonathan Brooks. He's not going to play for over half the season. Then he's going to get in there and have to take a few games to get adjusted to NFL speed. Then he'll have a few good games at the very last 2-3 weeks. And then you hope that bolsters his production. That's your best case scenario, dude. That is your absolute best case scenario. There are so many pitfalls and so many things that could go wrong with Jonathan Brooks. I have no idea how you're confident picking him in the top 10 selections. I don't know. Sell me on this. He's a great pass catching wide receiver. That's great. So was Danny Woodhead, and that didn't necessarily mean he was an elite fantasy asset. And not only that, to add on top of all of this, the Panthers were a top bottom five offense in pass production last year. So the thing that Jonathan Brooks does well, the Panthers aren't doing very well right now. Go on.
Okay, so I think the best way to sell you on this is, who else are you going to pick? Well, let's say you can't move the pick, and you need to pick a player here. And you have, even say, let's say you don't have eight, and you have a top 10 pick.
Vlad McConkey went after him.
Okay, no, but this is what I was going to say. Let's say, name me 10 players you would rather have over Brooks. In this format, in this league.
The dude who went right after him, Keenan Coleman, I would have rather had. I would have rather had Vlad McConkley. I would have rather had Trey Benson with a shot of getting a role in one of the top offenses or projected top offenses in the league this year in Arizona. I would have rather had Blake Corum.
When you're losing me.
What? How am I losing you here?
Like, there is nothing that Jalen Brooks, like the appeal of Jalen Brooks, it's not Jalen. I keep calling the dude Jalen.
Jonathan Brooks.
The appeal of Jonathan Brooks is that he's going to be a bell cow for this offense whenever he's back fit. You said that it's probably going to be like half a season. It's probably going to be a bit sooner.
Is he going to be the bell cow?
Yes, because that backfield is nothing at this stage. So I'm fairly confident that he's going to be the bell cow. And when you're looking at a guy like Trey Benson, for example, which I love, which I said that he was running back one this year.
I'd rather take the risk on Jalen Wright. I'd rather draft one of the fucking quarterbacks who went 2 and 3, Daniels in May. Go ahead.
Like, Trey Benson, for all the reports that I've been seeing right now, it very much seems like it's going to be a redshirt year for Trey Benson, unless you get the James Conner lengthy injury.
How long can James Conner keep going? He's like 32? Like,
apparently another season. The reports out of camp is that James Conner is still going to be the guy. Trey Benson was a play for the future. So that's the reports that I've been reading so far, that James Conner still looks great, and that he's still taking the bulk of the first-team carries. So I think when you're looking at the time window that you have with either Brooks or Benson, I think it's a similar time window for both guys. When you're looking at Blake Corum, again, this was the guy I drafted. We'll get there. It's not looking great so far. I was expecting him to get a bit more involved, and it very much looks like he's just playing with the twos at this time. Again, training camp has just started. The whole camp thing has just started a bit ago. Let's not read a whole lot into that. But if we've seen anything out of McVay, is that he wants one guy to run as the primary ball carrier. He is not into the whole running back by committee. So I very much believe he just drafted the guy to complement Kyren or have him take Kyren's spot. But I mean, if Kyren plays like he did last season, then it's maybe going to be a bit hard for Corum to take over the spot unless an injury happens. Jalen Wright, I can agree. But Jalen Wright has a lot more risk than Jonathan Brooks. First, like, Brooks was drafted, if I'm not mistaken, two full rounds ahead of Jalen Wright. And Jalen Wright has probably one of, if not the most explosive running back ahead of him. Now, I do not believe that he can stay healthy all that much.
You mean a guy you just put on the trading block?
Yes.
You had that much faith in him?
That's the guy. I do not have a whole lot of faith in the guy. But still, I feel like you are taking a big risk here on a guy that very much so could be that he was drafted to take on Raheem Mostert's spot here. So again, time window-wise, you're looking at guys that all are maybe going to be redshirted for a season, and then they are playing next year. And Jonathan Brooks was drafted.
Running backs go down so often, I'm not sure how many of these people you're saying as a redshirt season are actually going to be a redshirt season. We could absolutely come in here next year, and Blake Corum, Jalen Wright, and Trey Benson could all be higher than Jonathan Brooks at the end of the season. In fact, if that happened, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. Not one bit.
What if Shuba Hubbard goes down week 6, and by week 7, Jonathan Brooks takes the bulk of the carries for a backfield there in Carolina?
Will he be back week 7?
I mean, I think so at this stage.
Jonathan Brooks' knee without timetable to return. Panthers GM said Jonathan Brooks has no timetable on when he'll be back.
Yes, but I believe the table, not the table, but like the
he's expectation. He's on the pup right now, and he's going to be gone at least the first, bare minimum, he's going to be gone the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yes, but I believe the expectation for a guy who tore the ACL when he did is around week 7, week 8. So, like, if he comes back from that time and becomes the starter, and I just think that he's going to be the starter no matter what, when he's back 100% healthy. So, I'm getting a guy that was drafted on round 2 ahead of all of the other running backs, playing for a team that I think is going to be a bit on the hub. Like, not crazy high, but he's going to be a bit on the hub. It just sounds crazy to me that you think, like, he should go ahead, behind all of the running backs. I can agree with you on Benson, sure. But I struggle saying 10 names of guys that I would for sure rather have over Brooks. Because then, like, do I rather have Keon Coleman over Brooks? Like,
honestly, I'd rather have Leggett, because at least Leggett's going to be out there week 1. I'd rather have Franklin. I'd rather have Corley.
Okay, so I'm just going to take off my headphones. I'm going to go for dinner. I think we can wrap it up here, because you just said that you'd rather have Xavier Leggett.
Yes, because at least Leggett's going to be out there.
We're talking nonsense. Now, you know who else was out there? Terrence Marshall Jr.
Oh,
or
my God.
His brother, Jonathan Mingo. Or his brother, Xavier Leggett. They're all the same guy. Like, what does it matter if they're out there, if they suck?
Oh, my.
Like, they're all the same player. It doesn't matter, Angelo. Okay, let's go back to reality here. Keon Coleman. I get the hype for Coleman, but I wouldn't be shocked if Coleman doesn't play that big of a role year one, like, at all.
Well, it's really, who else is Josh Allen going to throw to?
Like, you're not going to like this answer.
Oh my God, don't you dare say Curtis Samuel.
But it's going to be Curtis Samuel.
Stop it.
Also, Also. Let's rewind here. Which Bills wide receiver did you want to have when Joe Brady took over the offense and they became like this running juggernaut that all they wanted to do was run, run,
the number one wide receiver.
Oh, so Stephon Diggs, right?
Yeah.
You wanted Stephon Diggs. Okay. We can get you Stephon Diggs. So Stephon Diggs, last season. So I'm glad you want this dude because I had him on my team. So get ready for this. 6.4 from week 10 onwards. 6.4 points. This
is still PPR.
5.7 points. Week 12, he had 19.4. But don't get too used to that because then week 14, 6.4. Week 15, 8.8. Week 16, 7.9. Week 17, 7.1.
This guy better not still be on your goddamn
roster. He's still on my roster. Like, no one wants to be. And he appears to be the wide receiver one for the Texans. So I'll take that at least.
Well, at this point, why don't you just donate him? You've bashed on him so much, you might as well donate him to a good team that'll give him a nice home, apparently.
I'm not even bashing here. I'm just saying, what if the wide receiver one for the Bills isn't that great?
Then the Bills are not going to be a top five. I don't know.
I mean, but they were still a strong offense when Diggs was posting up those numbers. They just spread the ball more. They instead of just going with Diggs, they were going with Diggs, Khalil Shakur, or Shakir, or whatever the name is. They were going with the fraud of Gabe Davis. They were going with...
The fraud of Gabe Davis. Oh, my God, dude.
They were going with other guys that I can't even name at this point. But I'll gladly find them for you. They were going with the likes of Isaiah McKenzie. And they were going with the likes of... I don't even know what the other dude was. I think it was Camaro. Jake Camaro, the guy that used to be for the...
Packers.
The Packers, yeah. So, I mean, they were just spreading the ball around a bit. And that's sort of what led to the fall off of Diggs. So, what if the offense isn't, like, super wide receiver heavy? Again, Kincaid had almost 700 yards as well receiving. So, what if the tight end and the running back are the main points of the offense? And the wide receivers, they just, like, spread the ball a bit more. And they spread the ball to Curtis Samuel, and they spread the ball to Keon Coleman, and they spread the ball to, like, Kincaid and Dawson Knox, and still spread the ball to Shakir. Like, there is a world out there in which all of these guys get to touch the ball, and the number one guy isn't, like, that important. And that doesn't seem to, like, doesn't seem like anyone cares all that much. All of this to say that I'm not sure that I would rather have Keon Coleman over Jonathan Brooks. Led, I would agree. So I would say that Harrison Nevers, Caleb, Utunze, Worthy, Bowers, McConkey, so that's 8. Benson, that's 9. That puts him right in a range. Then it's him, it's Brian Thomas, it's Corum Wright, Keon Coleman. All of those dudes are fairly in the same range to me right now. So I don't think it's that crazy. Like, I just think that at that moment, I would have rather taken Led there. But I don't think that big. I think that Brian Thomas Jr. is a much worse pick. And you
let's talk about him. Go ahead and bash on your obligatory Tony Khan bashing. Let's go.
At this point, it's not even Khan, huh? It's just like we keep drafting the same type of dude. Super late breakout age, great athlete. Not sure if he's a great football player. Looks like, I know, you know what? Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. Isn't that the one saying that goes hard? I remember that saying from Draft Day movie. Always sticks in the back of my mind. Never found a way to use it.
That was That's honestly a really good quote, by the way. Good job.
Okay. That into the...
In fact, that might be the name of the episode. Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane.
Yeah, see? Perfect.
There you go. Good job, Alan.
Christian Kirk is still going to be the wide receiver one in this team by like a good mile. Then you have like the disappointment.
One team I like struggle to assess because I have no idea like how they're going to look this year.
I kind of think they're going to regret the Trevor Lawrence deal. Because newsflash, I don't think it was just injuries. I just think the roster lacks some power on the offensive side. Because you look at it and it's like Travis Etienne promised a whole lot. When you watch him out there, kind of doesn't look great. He looks quite shitty at times. Tank Bigsby. When you watch all the players out there and you take the name off the shirt, like at times the Ernest Johnson looks like their best running back, especially in the receiving game. So you're kind of like, it's not a bad core, but it still seems kind of overhyped. Then you look at the wide receiver room and Christian Kirk. I mean, I bashed the contract when he signed it. He's been a great player for the money he was paid, and I still think he's going to be the wide receiver one. But then it's like Brian Thomas Jr. as a wide receiver two isn't great. The fraud of Gabe Davis as a wide receiver three doesn't look great.
The fraud of Gabe Davis.
And then you have Evan Ingram at tight end, and he's been playing pretty well with the Jags.
He actually low key might be the best like receiving option in this offense. I'm not gonna lie.
I think he's gonna be the second best because I really like Christian Kirk this year, and I think he's sort of gonna be one of those guys in redraft you can get for cheaper than when he's gonna finish up the season because they have the new Atkinson and Brian Thomas Jr. People will go for that guy, the rookie. Who's getting all of the hype. But, I mean, he was, like, to my eye, their best wide receiver last year when they played. Calvin Ridley got a whole lot of hype when he signed. But, he's kind of shitty. That seems to be the team with the Jags. Everyone is kind of shitty. And now, like, he's being overshadowed by Brian Thomas Jr. He's being overshadowed by the love that people still have for Gabe Davis. Like, crazy enough, it seems like the three games that he gets every year in which he goes bananas still leave rent free in everyone's mind, even though like last season he did not have one of those games because like am I looking at projections or is this like this shouldn't be projections. Yeah. Even though last year it didn't really have many of those games, like people are still trying to be sold on the idea that Gabe Davis is a good player, which he clearly is not. But we keep doing this dance with him. So, yeah, he had like 2-3 games in which he went off for over 20 points.
Gabe Davis, like, why do you hate Gabe Davis so much?
I mean, I'm kind of sick and tired of everyone always praising this dude and just poisoning him to have a great, like, breakout season. I mean, he's bound to have a breakout season for 3 seasons now. Every year, he gets you excited because he has some performances of, like, 20-plus yards, 20-plus fantasy points. And then, like, for example, on week 5, he went against Jacksonville Jaguars, funny enough. Went off for 100 yards, 6 catches, 1 touchdown. Everyone was hyped. Followed that up with 3 catches for 21 yards, and he lost a fumble. And followed that up with 1 catch for 6 yards. So it's kind of like people keep bumping this dude up, and like it's just a disappointment time and time again. And now he managed to con
the
Jags. He managed to con the cons into giving him a big deal. And, I mean, I just think it's bound to go as poorly as CM Punk when he trained AEW. So.
Oh, man.
I had to get my shot in there.
I knew it. That's
was looking was looking for the spot. Okay, so Brian Thomas Jr. was not a good pick for me. You did not like the Brooks pick all that much. We seem to just sort of be okay with Bowers. That's right around his range. Do you think he's going to have, like, Kyle Pitts rookie season, or...
I think it's more likely than Malik. I think he's more likely to break 1,000 than Malik Nabers is, that's for damn sure. But,
what can we bet on that? I'm intrigued on why you think Brock Bowers behind Jacoby Myers, Davante Adams, and even the running backs and Zamir White and whatnot is more likely, and being QB'd by, at this stage, it looks like it's going to be Aiden O'Connell. Why do you think it's more likely that that dude, that still has Michael Myers playing tight end as well, that dude is going to break 1,000 yards, but Malik Nabers, as the only wide receiver in that room that looks like he is anything, is not going to get 1,000 yards.
Eventually, Las Vegas is going to come to their senses, and they are going to play the best passer in Indianapolis, and that's Gardner Minshew. And Gardner Minshew has proven that he can provide the passing production needed to get 1,000 yards. So thank you.
It's just fun that you think Gardner Minshew is likely gonna give you the record, the amount of passing yards needed to make Adams, Myers, Meyer, Bowers, all of those players will have some sort of production. But then it's like Danny Dimes can't, because the median on his career is right around 2.8 or 2.5 passing yards. But I'm fairly certain that you haven't made the median on Gardner Minshew's numbers. Crosses.
Let's not worry about the median. Let's worry about what he did last year.
Of course. Okay. So last year he had
3,300, which is almost 1,000 yards more than what I expect for Daniel Jones. And if you really want to do the median, I mean, sure.
But why don't we consider the one season in which Daniel Jones was healthy with Brian with Brian Daboll and played 16 games? Why don't we consider that number, though? Why don't we just,
like, rip off the median? Because that's a pipe dream that happened in a time long, long ago.
It happened in 2022, Angelo. Even his touchdowns and interception numbers are close enough to Minshew's last season. Like, the season looks fairly similar to what Minshew did last season, except Danny Dimes ran a bit more. That's it, basically. But I'm supposed to discard Daniel Jones's here, but not Gardner Minshew. Okay, I got you. Gardner Minshew, by the way, was in a completely new team and a new OC and has actual competition for playing time.
Well, that's why.
Okay.
That's why he can get more yards, because unlike the Giants, who fired everyone except Brian Daboll, the Raiders actually did hire everyone, and he does. They do have a new quote unquote head coach with a new OC and a staff that he hired. So I do believe that the ceiling is a lot higher for the Raiders offense than it is for the Giants offense.
But he's learning a whole new system. And Daniel Jones isn't. Like, it's just the same system that he's been playing with for a while now. So don't you think there will be a learning curve with Gardner Minshew?
I mean, there should have been one with the Colts, shouldn't there?
Yeah, I guess so. Although, like, he was with Philadelphia for two seasons, and the OC with Philadelphia, when he was there, was the head coach for the Indianapolis Colts this past season. So, kind of similar enough. The offense was fairly similar, or at least the basis of the offense. Aha, you were not expecting that one.
I was not. I was not expecting that clap back.
I actually basically got that because I was about to give you this point, and then I realized that he was with Philadelphia as the backup for like two seasons prior to that turn. And I'm like, okay, gotcha. So, I mean, I just like the difference between Gardner Minshew, the actual like Gardner Minshew, not the legend that people make of Gardner Minshew, and Daniel Jones, like the actual Daniel Jones, not the shitty picture that they painted the dude, are fairly similar guys. Except one runs a bit more, and one is fairly more accurate. Or, like, just fairly more accurate. I was going to say makes better decisions, but not really. Because even in fumbles, like, the biggest concern for Jones was the fumbles. And Minshew had, like, 8 fumbles this past season, with 5 of them lost. And in his full season, starting with the Jacksonville Jaguars from the start almost, he had 13 fumbles, 7 of which were lost. So, I mean, they're fairly similar players. And to say that Brock Bowers is going to have that 1,000-yard season and Nabers won't, when there's clearly more competition for Bowers, and there's clearly a guy that is going to play ahead and get more targets of over Bowers
this.
In Adams.
I think we might have to just do the first round today and finish it next week.
I mean, it looks fairly clear that that's going to happen, unless you want to do like, I don't know,
3 hours,
like, yeah, a 3 hour episode. Which no, I'm no, going to no. say right no, now, no. it's no, not. No.
We
possible
we have to think head. About we have to think about the YouTube fans. We gotta just first round, you know.
First round. Okay.
I think about the people, unlike Alex.
Okay, I mean, we're 2 quadrants away to finish the first round. So, and next show we can maybe just scrap through the rest fairly quickly because, again, like first round is usually the main talking points.
Because that has the 2 players I actually drafted and have a...
Oh boy, he's going to go in a tirade on these 2 guys.
Yep, we'll see.
Yeah, so next week it's just going to be Angelo, guys. Like, he's going to have a monologue.
Okay. Alex is going to have to talk about Isaac Garendo next week.
Oh, buddy. Jesus Christ. I'm feeling sick already, so I might have to call it off. Okay, so next 4. So we do not stay here for like 2 hours, speaking of like 8 players. The next 4 were Keon Coleman, Ladd McConkey, Trey Benson, and my pick, Blake Corum. I will
here's
start.
Here's my question. Why didn't you go Jalen yes. Wright?
Okay. So I was going to start there. My idea was I like Wright a bit more than Corum, but I'm fairly certain that the perception around Wright is going to be lower than Corum. Purely because people are more hyped about A-Chain than they are about Kyren Williams. So I was thinking, get Quorum here, trade for a late first or early second, get Jalen Wright. Spoilers on the next happen. 4 picks, that did not happen. So I was kind of beating myself because in a vacuum, I'd rather have Jalen Wright. I was just thinking that if one of these guys falls and I can get them later in the draft, like early second round, it's going to be Jalen Wright. And clearly Cameron had other ideas. So,
and this is the
no thank you.
The draft philosophy. Angelo gets his guys. Alex does not.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of took an L there. Although I did like, I got 2 L's indeed because that pick I was looking at and I was like, this is going to be prime Trey Benson spot. I tried my best to trade with Austin, the other Austin in this league to get up to 110. Not really to get Led even because I was on board with taking Trey over Led, but purely because I know that Trojans was most definitely taking Trey Benson. Based on the guys that he listens and whatnot, and just knowing him in general, he was going to go Trey Benson. So I had no shot in getting Benson there. And I couldn't so I couldn't trade.
Just out of curiosity, could you not because he wouldn't trade the pick, or was the price something you couldn't swallow?
I could not because although he did say initially that he would trade the pick, I couldn't get a hold of him, and he made the pick, basically. Never got an answer back. So
yeah. Okay.
I was looking at, because he needed the running back. If you look at his team, like, the running backs on the team are Zach Charbonnet, Miles Sanders, Tank Bigsby. I mean, just a wasteland of running backs. So I was looking at Derrick Henry for the pick, maybe have a bit on top, but something along those lines. And he did want a running back, but he never got back to me. I floated up a few names because I'm still heavy on running back, but never gotten a proper answer. So deal never happened.
Now he has Ladd, and now you have Blake Corum.
Just what I needed, huh?
Just what you needed.
So yeah, I took an L because I couldn't get up to get Benson, to get Ladd. And then I took another L because I couldn't move down, because that, to me, 112 without Benson, without Ladd, was like the dead spot. It's like the worst spot for the pick. It was, there was no one there.
Is that the pick that you like made us wait over a day to make a selection on?
Yes. You waited 24 hours for me to make that pick, because I tried my absolute best to move that pick, and no one like took it. Like, at this age, like in this day and age, when you're playing Dynasty, like, everyone just knows what's up, unless you're like in a complete bubble. Everyone just knows what's up, and in this league, like, that doesn't happen all that much. Like, people are fairly plugged in. I mean, we've been playing for almost 10 years now. Like, people are fairly plugged in. So, I mean, they just know that this stage, like, Warren Wright, Adonai Mitchell, Legette, Ricky Pearsall, Troy Franklin, Malachi Corley, all of those guys, this is just, like, a big drop-off spot for where the draft was before, with Coleman, McConkley, Benson, Brooks, all of those guys. This is the drop-off. And no one took the pick, so I took my best guess. I went with Corum, thinking that Wright might have fallen a bit more. And because he was drafted inside, he was a day two pick, unlike Wright. So I went with Corum. And right now, I probably would have rather gone Wright. But at that point, I probably still wouldn't have changed a thing. The other guy that I was pondering, it was Corum, it was Wright. And then it was, if I'm not mistaken, taking a stab at Ricky. No, Ricky Pearsall.
Oh, Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, just on the off chance that maybe, like, Ayuk or Debo got traded. Doesn't seem likely at this stage.
I mean,
but Ayuk, yeah, seems, that's just.
Ayuk literally went to negotiations with Jaden Daniels. I think it seems. I think it's pretty likely that Ayuk is not going to finish the season. Well, maybe he will, but Ayuk is not long for the 49ers. That's the point.
Much like one wrestling superstar once said, this is not a prediction. This is a spoiler. He's going to be with the San Francisco 49ers all year. Like, they're not trading the dude, and he has no leverage. Like, he's just going to play. That's it. Either he gets a deal or he plays on the fifth year or the tag or whatever that is. But he's going to be with the Niners, I'm fairly certain. So, yeah. I was stuck there with Quorum. Did not like my options. Ended up going with Quorum. Sort of got a bunch of L's. But to me, the best pick in this quadrant is either Ladd or Trey Benson. Again, immediate return, I think Ladd McConkey is going to be, he's going to be peppered with targets, in my opinion. He's going to be the guy for that team. They have,
unfortunately, Quentin Joshua Johnston Palmer. Fans, Quentin Johnston is not looking very good right now. But we'll see.
Those guys still exist. I thought they were extinct.
They're not extinct yet. Come on.
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure.
I don't know. I think when you go to that fan club, that's probably situated somewhere around...
He probably has Google. He probably has a Reddit forum dedicated to himself.
Oh, buddy. Don't tell me. He has like four people.
Quentin Johnston.
I'm sure that's somewhere close to Texas Christian University. There is probably like a small house with like letters falling off saying Quentin Johnston fan club.
Quentin Johnston making strides early in Chargers training camp. There you go.
Was that before or after the coach said that he's probably, or the reporter said that he's probably going to be wide receiver 4 after DJ Shaw?
18 hours ago. Come on.
Okay. So that was, I mean, yeah, strides from being nothing. It's still like quite hard, right? Like you're making improvements, but it's fairly easy to build up from zero, right?
Oh my
like,
God.
When you go from 0% to 5%, you've made strides and you've made improvements, but you're still shit. But as I was saying, there's probably a fan club next to Texas Christian University, like the TCU college where you went to. You're probably going to go there. You're going to find like a bunch of letters saying Quentin Johnston fan club, just completely falling off of the wall. When you enter there, you're expecting to see like 5 guys. But at the end of the day, all you will be like hearing is just like, they've all left. So they're next to the Jalen Reagor fans now. It used to be the Jalen Reagor fan club that was still next to TCU's university. But now it's just like, it's an abandoned building. City Hall is probably going to take it back at some point. But yeah, Ladd McConkey, he's going to be the wide receiver 1 for the Chargers this season. He's going to be peppered with targets. Again, top 24 player for me at this stage. Maybe when the projections are done, he won't be. But yeah, for me, it's one of the best picks here. It should have gone a bit higher for me, next to Trey Benson as well. I think Trey Benson should have also gone higher. I think there are 2 players who are being, I mean, not right now, because I've seen Ladd go quite a bit higher than this, in some of my drafts, but I think they were good picks here for the value. Immediate return, I think Ladd's gonna be more of a quick payoff for the pick that you used. Trey Benson, you're probably gonna have to wait a bit more, but I wouldn't be shocked if like when both are at the highest of their value, Trey Benson is worth a bit more. So both are good picks. Keon Coleman, again, we've talked about him. I think he's sort of like the wide receiver 1 for the Bills is a bit overhyped at this stage. Blake Corum, again, I took my L's. Now I'm hoping that Kyren Williams still sucks at pass blocking.
All right, the last picks.
The last picks. It seems like you're still in shock with the Quentin Johnston 8, but it's like at this point you should be used to it, Angel.
The last 4 were Jalen Rager. Go ahead.
No. I'm just saying it has been a year. Like, you need to get used to it.
The last 4, Jalen Wright, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Adonai Mitchell. Which one do you want to start with?
I mean, we can talk about the worst one, and it's Adonai Mitchell.
Drake May?
Like, people... No, Adonai Mitchell was the worst pick. Like, he should have gone much lower. Like, I'd rather have Michael Penix than Adonai Mitchell.
Michael Penix?
Yeah.
The dude who isn't going to play this year.
Yes.
Who's 24.
Yes. I do not want the wide receiver 3 or 4 for a run first QB.
Like, oh, you're so close, Alex. You're so close. Would you now please say that Gardner Minshew is better for the Colts wide receivers than what's his name?
I mean, like, I'm
that's
still...
his name.
I mean, if I'm going to look at the Colts wide receivers last season, He's going to be the wide receiver one, the QB one this year, just so you know, by the way. But again, sure, I mean, you say that, but then I go here and it's like Colts wide receiver in 2023. Then I check what they've done. And it's surprising that you said that it's going to be a better QB for the wide receivers when Gardner Minshew had two guys over 600 yards receiving. I still think that's probably what's going to happen with Anthony Richardson. In fact, I think one of those guys is going to break 1,000 yards, which didn't happen under Gardner Minshew.
Who, Donnie Mitchell?
No, it's going to be Michael Pittman, and then it's going to be Josh Downs. I think Josh Downs is going to have a great year.
I don't think it's going to be. Here's my hot take. I think Michael Pittman is about to take a step back.
Okay, Josh Downs, wheels up.
Yeah, Josh Downs or Donnie Mitchell wheels up. Because quite honestly, and you can hate on a Donnie, I don't care. What is the one thing that he who will not be named is good at other than running?
Wait, was Vince McMahon good at running? Jesus Christ, I did not know that. Thank you, Angelo. he's good at the deep ball, and he's also, I mean, he's good at everything almost.
It's the deep ball. It's the deep ball. That's the answer. The answer is he's good at throwing it deep. And the two wide receivers who are going to benefit the most of that, whether you like him or whether you don't, is Josh Downs and Donnie Mitchell.
You want my outtake?
Go for it.
Neither Alec Pierce or Adonai Mitchell break 550 yards receiving, but Alec Pierce is going to have more yards receiving than Adonai Mitchell.
No.
We'll revisit this in 5 months.
When you have to say that you're wrong and Donnie Mitchell is actually one of the people along with Josh Downs who benefited from Anthony Richard Suck being the quarterback.
Richard Suck. I mean, he's listening to you, Angela. Get ready.
Go for it.
He's coming for you.
What you gonna do? Take the Colts to a 9-8 season? Ooh.
He's likely gonna beat your ass. That's just what he's gonna do because of this massive.
I guess he's 250 pounds. But no. If the Colts don't win at least 10 games with that schedule, I will be more ruthless than you've ever seen me be. I'm not gonna lie.
Again, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. Anthony Richardson, best QB in his division, QB1 for fantasy. Book
it. He's not even the second best QB in his division.
He is the second and the best QB in his division.
He is not. CJ Stroud is better. In fact, he might actually be the worst, now that I think about it. CJ Stroud is better. Trevor Lawrence is probably better.
One more and you're out, Angela.
And I hate to say it, but Will Levis might be better.
The judges have decided you are now out of the program, Angela. No, you keep slandering my dude's name. He's going to prove you that you're just completely wrong.
This season is going to be fun for either you or me. So we'll see.
It's going to be great for me. But just like, I mean, two of these guys were QBs. Like Jaden Daniels, sure he has upside. Sure, he could even be like close to an Anthony Richardson rookie year. Like Jaden if he had Daniels played the full 17 games. I mean, has someone ever gotten four and managed to live out in a show? That's kind of surprising, right? Like, you might have to take, like, an Anaki timeout for finding. Like, next show, you need to be in the timeout box for, like,
I'll tell you what. That's it. That's the show for me. You know, I have been eliminated. I am the weakest link. Goodbye, Alex. You know, if you have anything else to say on the rest of the draft, great. But this is now the Alex show. So everyone at home, enjoy the Alex show.
Thank you, Angela. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, you've done great. But like four strikes is just way too much. I mean, I'll just wrap it out here. Jalen Wright, great pick. Was probably the best out of these four and the best like value here. In the next few picks, even in the second round and whatnot, like yes, clear upside to be the guy ahead of Devon Achan, and then it's Jaden Daniels. I think he has great upside, but year one could be a bit tricky. The adjustment to the NFL level is going to be tricky for him, in my opinion. Drake May, I mean, apparently the report's coming out today, and if you've been following us at No Reserves Radio, you know this. Because we sent out a tweet about this. But Drake May has been the QB2, and it seems like it's going to be all wheels up for Jacoby Brissett to start the season as the QB1. So Drake May is probably going to be a bit of more of a wait-and-see approach. Like, spoiler alert, for the second round, three QBs go in there. I think he should have probably been in that range instead of closer here in the first round. There's a few players that I would rather have over Drake May. So I don't expect a whole lot from him this year. And then Adonai Mitchell, I mean, you're just drafting the wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts, for a QB like Anthony Richardson, who's great, like great QB, great player, one of the best QBs ever, the best QB in this division. He's going to be the best QB in fantasy. So just put all of your money in that. I just love being in a solo show because... I mean, it's just Anthony Richardson show, right? So, yeah, like, kind of a waste of a pick, in my opinion. I don't think he's better than Josh Downs. I certainly don't think he's better than Michael Pittman. He's probably going to be better than Alec Pierce, but I don't really expect that in year one. So, yeah, like, I don't expect him to break 500 yards. So you kind of just wasted the pick there, in my opinion. But, yeah, that's the first round. You can catch all of the board here on YouTube. So if you're watching there, go for it. If you're just listening on the podcast app, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening, leave us a 5-star review. Subscribe, turn on the auto downloads as well. If you're listening on the YouTube and you're watching this beautiful board that Angelo placed out for you, leave us a like, leave us a comment, turn on the notifications and whatnot. And also, if you're on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, follow us at No Reserves Radio. We'll be tweeting a bit more. Off-season is picking up. You can see when the shows come out. You can see all of the news regarding the NFL. We're being a bit more active in there. And really like this bit of a show where it was just a solo ride where I could just praise Lord and Savior Anthony Richardson. While Angela just sits there in misery, might have been going out for a coffee or whatnot, just to stop listening to the Anthony Richardson praise. But yeah, talk to you guys next week.